So 2 Corinthians 5:7, familiar verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I like some of the other translations. The New Living, it says, we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing. Or you could say, we don't live, you know, sometimes when we want to know what something is, sometimes we have to find out what it isn't. Right. So we live not by hope, but by faith. And not by seeing. The 20th century New Testament says, for we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. And that's why I was sharing last week what the Holy Spirit was sharing in my heart or saying in my heart, what does your faith see? We're to not look at the seen, but at the unseen. And so now let's get over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And we'll look at verse 6. And Hebrews 11, 1, familiar verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something, it's the evidence of something not seen. So when we believe for things, we don't need to believe for something that we have or something that we see. We believe for things that what we don't see. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what, diligently seek him. So as I was sharing, we're going to take a look at what faith is, these fundamentals, and these ingredients, and there's many more, but these are the basic fundamentals. There's others, but I want to focus on these, what faith is, how does it come, and then how to operate in it, how to activate it. And I like this particular translation. There's a few that really speak to me in the Moffat's translation. It says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. So that means we're confident of what we do, what? Of what we hope for, and convinced of what we do not see. So faith is, I like this, it's confident of what we hope for, and we're convinced of what we do not see. And this is the Knox translation. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. I like this. It is that which gives, faith is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. The New English Bible, similarly, it says, and what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. So here's the question, and something that sometimes we read over these, we know them so well, the scriptures, that we begin to just speak them, parrot them, I guess you could say. But hope cannot take the place of faith. And faith can't take the place of hope. So What is 1 Corinthians 13? You know, we just got done looking at that scripture. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So you see here we have faith and we have hope and we have charity. So faith can't take the place of hope. Hope can't take the place of faith. Faith can't take the place of love. Faith works by love. So you've got to have hope. Now I'm going to make a statement. You have to have hope before faith. You have to have hope before faith. And here's the thing. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. So you have to have hope before you have faith. See, sometimes we read over these kind of things and we just parrot things. And a lot of times people are making mistakes because they're saying, well, I don't need hope. Yes, you do. Well, I just have faith. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Faith is the substance of something we hope for. See, faith gives substance to our hopes. Hope does not have any substance. Hope doesn't have substance. Faith has substance. Faith gives substance to something you hope for. So hope doesn't have substance. Think about this. You all have some money. If you pulled it out, you'd say, okay, I have money. I don't have to hope for something that I have. It has substance. So I don't need to hope for something that I possess. I don't need that. Faith gives substance to something I hope for. So I don't need to have faith for something that has substance, something that I possess. I don't need faith for that. I don't need to believe for something that has substance, that has reality. I pulled this money out. It ain't fake money. If it was fake, then it wouldn't be real. It wouldn't have reality, right? But this is real money, right? So you never hope for something you possess. You don't hope for something you possess. But things that you don't possess, you hope for. And then faith gives substance to what you hope for. Hope has no substance. Faith has to give substance to something I hope for. Hope this is making sense. Are you hoping for your healing? Are you hoping for financial increase? Are you hoping for peace? Are you hoping to be delivered from a habit? See? It doesn't have substance. You don't possess it. You don't possess the healing, but you hope for it. You don't possess the finances, but you're hoping for it. You don't possess the peace, but you're hoping for it. You don't possess the deliverance from an addiction or a habit, but you're hoping to be. And then faith gives substance. Faith activates the power of God, so I realize it. Yes. See? But if you're just hoping and there's no faith, faith can't give substance to something you hope for. I hope this is all making sense. This is basics. Sometimes we need to listen to the basics again. Faith gives substance to things you hope for. So, when it comes to the things that are promised in the Word of God, I can hope for it. See, when I start hoping for things that are outside the Word of God, you're off over in some territory that's not promised by the Word of God. Then I can't have faith for that. Then how does faith give substance to something that's not promised? You can't. See? So I can hope for things that are promised in the Word of God or under our covenant. You can hope for finances to meet an obligation. You can hope for that, to meet an obligation. And then my faith gives me the assurance that I'll have the money when I need it. Faith gives me the assurance of something I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for my healing. And faith gives me the assurance I've got it. Because what? I don't see it yet. So you hope for what? You hope for physical strength to do the work you need to do. And faith does what? Faith gives me the assurance that I have it. Faith will always say what the Word of God says. Faith will always say, will decree what the Word of God says. When does my faith give substance to that which I hope for? When does it do that? When does your faith give substance to something you hope for? Something you hope for is in the future. I hope to get this. That's not when. That's not now. When is faith? Now. So now my faith gives when? Substance to something I'm hoping for. Hope is in the future. Faith is when? Now. Now my faith gives me the assurance I've got that which I desire. Right? So when I'm in faith, there's two types of ingredients here. You can go back and look at 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. You don't need to go there. It says, "And ye, then we having the same spirit of faith, we did what? We believed, and therefore we did what? We speak." So those two ingredients are key to faith. What does faith do? Faith believes and speaks. So when is my faith giving substance to my hope? When does it do that? Now. Say it. When does my faith give substance to my hope? Now. Because faith is now. Faith is present. Faith is not in the future. Hope is in the future. Hope is something that I desire to come to pass. In the future. Faith is now. Let me read a few other translations of Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. The Berkeley translation says, "Faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. It forms this solid ground on which my hope is supported." The New Living, it says, "Faith is the confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." So here's what we're talking about. Faith, again, it gives substance to something that we hope for. You know, you may say this, you may say, "Well, I don't believe that right now. I'm hoping for it, I desire it, but I don't believe that right now." Well, faith comes by hearing, or you could say believing or trusting or confidence, comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I want to make an observation here. I've heard this term used, you can school yourself into faith. You can school yourself into believing. How do we do that? Or you can school yourself into something. How? By believing it, or you say it, and you decree it. That's how you do it. You keep feeding on it. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking the promises of God, and at some point, you will believe it. Let me ask this question. See, because sometimes we say, well, I'm not sure about that. Okay, how does one school themselves into doubt and unbelief? The same way. The same way. You keep looking at all of the problems. You keep talking about it. And sooner or later, you get over to this point where you go, it'll never change. It'll never work out because you kept focusing on the problem. And you kept talking about it, and you schooled yourself into doubt and unbelief, but you didn't start there. So don't tell me you can't school yourself into faith by keep feeding on the word. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. It's the same thing. He said, if you'll not let this word depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night and observe to do, that you will make your way prosperous. That sounds like schooling ourselves into believing. Because you can do the opposite. And most of this world does that. And sometimes we need the Holy Ghost to tell us and say, stop that. Because he does it to me. Stop looking at that. Stop meditating on that. Stop talking about that. Because you're schooling yourself into unbelief. See, the just are supposed to live by faith, not by doubt. I'm a believer and not a doubter. How do we do that? We've got to school ourselves. We've got to constantly keep feeding on the Word of God, meditating on it, and doing what? Speaking it. And that's why I was sharing that scripture last Sunday about worrying. Yes. See, you can school yourself into worry. And the scripture says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about one thing. See, and then when it talks about in Romans 14, 23, it says, that which is not of faith is what? Sin. And I love the Message translation. I'll tell you, it sat me down hard. See, the Holy Ghost will do that.
Yes, he will.
He'll enlighten the scripture to you and you go, ooh. This is what the Message translation says. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep. If everybody in here is living the way you believe, because we all aren't. Every one of us have to make corrections in life. Because we say, oh, I believe this, but then you live some other kind of way. So guess what that is? That, in God's eyes, that's sin. And that's why I say here that you can school yourself right into faith by meditating and speaking and believing. You can bring yourself from doubt over to faith, overcoming faith. And that's what Romans 12, 2 says. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to a bunch of doubters and unbelievers. Be not conformed to this world system that I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can have it. See. So, just as I said, you can school yourself right into unbelief and doubt by meditating on the problem. Amen. And talking about it.
Amen.
So faith gives substance to things hoped for. Now listen, if you don't have hope for anything, Faith has nothing to give substance to. If you have no hope, then faith has no substance to give it to. It has nothing to give substance to. So you must have hope first. If you have no hopes, then you have no faith. If you're not sure about that, if you have no hope, then you're not in faith. You have no faith. Faith is now, and it gives substance to something you're hoping for. So if there's no hope, how can you be in faith? You can't be. And a lot of people are misapplying things. If you have no hope for healing, how could you have faith or confidence for healing? You can't. So you have to have hope first. And then my faith in God's word gives substance to it. I have it now. See? So in the area of healing or financial needs met or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or deliverance from habits, if hope is all you have, then you won't go beyond hope. And you won't receive because there's no substance to hope. Hope is in the future. You can't substitute hope for faith, or substitute faith for hope. Now let's look at Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. I hope you're getting it. It's quiet. That means everybody's paying attention, listening. Make you think, right? Mark 11, 24. Here's another way of putting it. Sometimes the more we share this in a different way, maybe it'll connect. If we are just hoping, then no substance will come out of that. If you're just hoping, hope has no substance, then there's going to be no substance that come out of that. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire or ye hope first, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. So you've got to hope or desire something first. And when you pray, believe you receive it. When? Now. Here's a question. Let's read this verse another way. Jesus didn't say, what things soever you desire when you pray, hope that you receive. He didn't say that. He said, believe you receive. See? You've got to hope. So what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe. This is faith. Believe you receive. Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He didn't say all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, hoping you shall receive. See, there is natural hope. But hope has no substance. Faith gives substance to things that we desire. And hope must come first. Whatsoever things ye desire. When ye pray, believe you receive it. When? Now. So desire or hope has to come first before you pray. Faith is not hope. Faith is present tense. Hope is future tense. Hope says, I'll get it sometime. It's something you desire. I hope to get these finances to meet these bills. But based on God's word, he shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I believe, I receive it now, and it gives substance. It activates the power of God to bring it. But I had to hope first. I had to desire it. See, many desire, we desire to be healed in our bodies. There's a sickness, there's a disease. We desire to be healed. And faith gives substance to that which I desire. What is that ingredient? I've got to believe and say. I've got to believe and say. And I have to consistently do that. It's not once in a while. I heard this, that's why it's so important that we help one another through these issues in life. I heard a testimony Friday night when I was up in Pennsylvania, and this gentleman used to come. He came on Friday nights, and he would kind of make his way there. He'd have his walker and so forth. And he was, he was Mr. Negative. Everything was negative. If the sun was up, he'd say, yeah, but, and everything was negative. I don't care what it was negative, 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 negative. 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 If you said this, he'd say, yeah, but something wrong with the cookies. I mean, it was just, you're almost like, huh, what can I say to help him? So we encouraged him, and there's a couple up in Pennsylvania that just live in the same community that he lives, and they just would go in, and he was going through a physical challenge. He was in a lot of pain. And so they did everything they could possibly do. They cleaned his house. They helped him. They took him places, and so did Minister Joe. All of them. Everybody pitched in. They just helped him, right? But he was still Mr. Negative. Mr. Negative. And so they'd help as much as they could. And so we encouraged him to, he said, well, again, we said, look, if your faith is not there, get the operation. Get the operation. It'll improve your quality of life. I know, but, the doctor said that, and it was but, I'm not sure. So we finally get it done, right? And they just encouraged him. So he had it done. And we didn't see him, and so that he really couldn't. He bought a house up in the community. So this other couple that comes to the church in Pennsylvania, they helped him sell his house. They actually took the time to get him into a very, very upscale. I mean, they said, this place is incredibly nice. Really nice. I mean, it's like top-notch in an assisted living place. Over in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So anyways, one of the ladies was sharing last night. She said, they were telling me, you got to see Mr. Allen. You won't believe it. And they said, yeah, right. I got to see this for myself. And she said she went last weekend and spent 3 hours with him. And she said, my God, she said, I'm just enjoying my time here with him. It was Mr. Positive, Mr. Positive, Mr. Positive, Mr. Positive, Mr. Positive. There wasn't one negative. And this is what he said. He said, I was in so much pain. I was in so much pain that it twisted my thinking. And I said, you know what? Sometimes we need to have a real appreciation of people that are going through issues and pain. And just look at that and say, what, give me the, how can I help them? Because they don't really want to be that way. But there's pain in their life. And they're at a level in their faith where they need help and support. But they didn't give up. I mean, the people around them, we didn't give up. Got them to a place. And now all he can do is sing praises for everything we do for him. This church, my God, I can't believe what they do for me and the people that keep coming and help and this and that and the other. So love broke through and the natural things broke through. And now he can see. Now he's working his way through therapy, but he's positive. He's positive. And I said, it helped me to understand a little more about what people can go through. And of course, I've known this, but just when it's close like this and you see this person, I mean, when we lived it, Pastor Greg and I lived it every Friday. We'd say, oh, Mr. Allen's coming. Okay. It was Mr. Negative. But not anymore. It's Mr. Positive. And I believe we're going to see him walk and be productive and fruitful. But he was hoping and desiring, but his faith wasn't there. And he did need some natural help. But his faith, because he was really not believing, and he was saying so. See, so sometimes these things, you need to have hope, but then faith gives substance to that which you hope for. What is the ingredients of faith? You've got to believe the promises of God, and you've got to speak it. And the devil will come right along and say, you don't have that. The body's not changing. You've been standing for the last 3 years. Nothing's changing. Wah, 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 wah. And you need to pipe right up and say, yes, Mr. Devil, but I believed and I received and you're speaking. What did Jesus do? See, this is why we have our example. When Jesus said, And when the devil spoke to Jesus, what did he do? He responded with, it is written. So he quoted the word of God and he spoke it. And we need to do the same thing. And keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and school ourselves over into overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. And we can. We can overcome, I'm going to say this, we can overcome every single obstacle that confronts us. If it's in the Word of God, then I can overcome it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I can overcome. And most times what happens is we unhook somewhere where we begin to fix our attention on the issue. And we get over into doubt and unbelief, and it'll kill your faith. And this is the thing we need to be observant of. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I need to keep my focus on the unseen, that which I have not, which hasn't come into reality yet. Brother Hagin had a way of saying it. It was an interesting way. He said, you know, you can school yourself, or not school yourself, he didn't use that term, but he used a way of saying it, which I thought was interesting. He said, faith is grasping or taking hold of the unrealities of hope. Something unpossessed, it's unreal, it's the unrealities of hope, and bringing it into the realm of reality, or you could say bringing it into the realm of possessing it. So faith takes hold or grasps that which is not seen and brings it over into the seen where I possess it. That's what we do. Now, I keep saying these things. We keep going around. Some will come and say, you know, I do believe, but I've been waiting a long time. And I go, what has that got to do with anything? Nothing. Because what it tells me is when we say, but I've been waiting a long time, it says with patience, we're to wait for it. And whether it takes a year or 10 years matters not. Because if you have it, it says you're convinced of that which you don't see. Faith is convinced of something I don't see. And so sometimes we need to shake ourselves and say, wait a minute. It doesn't matter how long I wait. It is coming to pass. I'll share this. I remember when I was very young, I was in my early 20s. I was in a time of prayer. And it felt like I was laying on my bed and I was praying in the spirit. And I had my hands like this and I'm praying and it felt like I was leaving my body. It was very unnerving. I hadn't experienced this before. It literally felt like I was leaving out of my body. And I pulled back. Because, you know, we in his natural body, I felt like I was leaving out. And a voice filled my room. And I've heard this. I've never experienced it like that before. But sometimes, you know, when we talk about the things of the Spirit, there's an authoritative voice, that's what this was, filled my room and said, I will use you like this, bump, 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 bump. Ooh. And I walked for 25, almost 30 years before I began to see a little bit of it. So when God speaks something to you, whether it's in that still small voice, whether it's an impression, whether it's whatever it is, if it was from God, then you can have faith for that. And you don't let go of it. I don't care if it's 30 years. Because I'll tell you what happened. After about 30 years, I began to say, well, I don't know, maybe God meant this. And yet I had that experience. Now, I didn't question what he said. I began to say, well, maybe he meant this. No, he didn't. He meant exactly what he said. He meant to the T exactly what he said. And so all I'm saying is that when God speaks to you, this is God speaking to me right here. I don't need any other instructions. I've got the Word of God. And you stand on this, and if he gives you further instructions, then so be it. And he does. But you hold on to the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God gives substance to something you desire. You read it in the Word of God, you have hope for it. And you say, faith now gives substance to that. This is where the world is. The world hopes to have something They hope to have a relationship with God. They hope that God is all this that it's made up to be. But then the preaching of the gospel gives faith and substance to something they're hoping for, and then does what? With the heart, man hopeth. No, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. He don't hope unto righteousness. He believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can't hope your way to heaven.
Amen.
What things soever you desire, amen. I desire to go to heaven. Yeah, but you got to go beyond that. Faith gives substance to something you desire. This is where the preaching of the gospel comes in. And we have to share with people the good news of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Not hoping. Faith is. I hope you're getting a little of this. Well, we're out of time. Well, Wednesday, I'm going to pick up, because I was going to pick up on this today, but Romans chapter 4, we're going to look at Abraham and look at what faith is. This is what is faith, or what faith is. We're going to land over on Romans chapter 4. As it is written, I have made thee. See, that's faith. I have. God is a faith God. I have made you. And when he said that, he wasn't. So he did what? If you look at the end of that verse, he calleth those things that what? Be not. As though they were. Faith gives substance to things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wasn't seen yet that he was the father of many nations. But as far as God was concerned, it already was. That means you're already healed. You've just got to do what? Believe. You're already prosperous. You've just got to believe that you are. Based on what? The Word of God. And then what? It's not just believing. You've got to then do what? Say it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So again, faith gives substance to things hoped for. Faith doesn't replace hope, and hope doesn't replace faith. What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. So we all do hope or desire something, but you've got to believe based on something that's promised in the Word of God. It's no different. You could go over, there's scripture that we could look at. Let's take a moment and look at this just quickly. Matthew 18. Let's go over here. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, 19, again I say unto you that what? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall what? Ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So we have to, if we're going to pray about something, then we have to be what? In agreement. Otherwise it won't work. And actually, if we're in agreement, then we're not only just believing, but we're saying that we believe. Amen. You know, if you get done praying a prayer with someone and say, well, just agree with me. You know, I for years I used to hear that sitting with Pastor Sarah on the radio. I just want prayer. Prayer about what? Just pray a prayer of agreement. Well, what do you want me to pray about? I'm going to agree with you. I need to know what I'm agreeing on. And then after you prayed, I said, oh, yeah, well, I want such and such. Okay, we're going to pray. Did you get it? Oh, I sure hope so. Well, you didn't. You didn't. Because why? Faith, now faith is. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe when? Now. That you receive it. So if you begin to get an agreement with somebody, ask them, did you receive it? If they say, well, I sure hope so. Well, you won't. You won't. Then you don't know what faith is. You're hoping. And I believed I received it with you. So we're not in agreement because you're hoping and I believed that we received. So it can't come to pass. And you've got to go there because otherwise it's a fruitless prayer. It's a waste of time. You've got to ask the person if they, you know, whether it's husband, wife, friend, whatever they say, just agree with me in prayer. We hear this all the time. Agree with me in prayer. Sounds good, doesn't it? And then you say, okay, I believe we receive. Did you get it? I sure hope so. Well, you didn't. Because believing is now. Right now, we've got it. Well, it doesn't look like it. Doesn't matter. You believe, you receive when you pray. Glory to God. I know you can't, you know, just. So if you operate in these principles, and I just say this again, keep reiterating this. If you operate these principles, nothing will be impossible to you. Not one thing. If you take these principles and you meditate on them and you keep meditating on them, nothing will be impossible. Why? Because you're going to school yourself into overcoming faith. So when something's confronting you, you begin to operate these principles. What principles? Not be moved by what you see. You're only moved by the Word of God. Why? Because you're convinced. I'll read it again. This is the Moffat's translation. It says, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. I don't have the finances. I'm hoping for them. But when I pray, it's promised in God's word, He's going to meet my need. I believe I received the finances to meet that obligation when I need it. I've got it now. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't matter whether it looks like it. I believe I've got it right now. And I say so. I say so. I used to hear Pastor Clinton say this, or reference him. He used to come and, you know, of course, those that were here when he was alive, he'd say, oh boy, I don't feel like playing the piano. I used to hear him say this. And I'd pray, God help me. And he'd take a step of faith and he'd start. I remember we'd all be responsible to put a list of songs together. And sometimes he'd start, just keep plowing down the songs, just whatever the way they were on the list, taking a step of faith. And then what? The presence of God would come. The anointing would come. And begin to do what? Operate and give substance to what he was hoping for. That's what you got to do. Your body's hurting. I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to call it what it is. I'm healed and the power of God is working in me and correcting my body. Now, if God tells you to go different paths and do things, do it. Obey. But at the same time, put your faith in the Word of God. Put your faith in His Word. Not in the doctors, not saying you don't go to doctors, but don't put your faith in it. Put your faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he may direct your path. No, he shall. Why? Because I trusted in him. See? Amen. I better stop. Praise the Lord. Get these messages and feed upon them. Listen to them. And when you get tired of listen to them a little bit more. And feed upon them. It'll dawn on your spirit. It'll all of a sudden you go, whew. You may come to the conclusion, I am doing that. Good. Keep doing it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that the entrance of your word is giving us, it's giving us light and understanding. And we thank you, Father, that we're not going to come up short in one area of our life. Not short in health, not short in peace, not short in the gifts of the Spirit, not short in finances. We're not coming up short. Because why? We hope to have it, and we believe that we receive. And it's giving substance to that which we hope for. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's another scripture. I'm thinking about this when I'm praying. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It's the first verse after we get done reading the love chapter. See, this will help somebody. That's why the Holy Ghost brought it to my attention. Open your Bible. I want everybody to open your Bible, whether it's paper or electronic. I want you to open it up. Get the King James Version. And I'm going to give you a minute to do that. And if you don't have your Bible or something, look on with somebody. Because this is going to help somebody. We're talking about hope and faith. What things soever ye desire, believe that you receive. See, you got to interpret Scripture with Scripture. What is 1 Corinthians 14:1? I'm going to read it. Follow after love and do what?
Desire.
Oh. It didn't say you have them. It says desire, hope, and then what? If you hope for something, you've got to believe that you receive. Desire. You desire spiritual gifts. See, a lot of folks are saying, well, I desire to do that. Hope gives no substance. Faith does. Faith gives substance to what you desire. You desire spiritual gifts. God says, I make them available. I believe that the Holy Ghost is working in me with spiritual gifts. And now what does he do? You open your heart up. You do what? You believe. And believing activates the power of God so that that which you desire comes from the unseen into the seen. See, some of us have been just operating in hope where this, I sure hope God would just tap me on the shoulder and I'm hoping he'll operate through me. Hope doesn't have substance. Faith gives substance to it. So you've got to go beyond just desiring spiritual gifts. You've got to do what? Believe to receive that it's available for me. And God is working in me. You've got to begin to do what? Say it. How many were here when Leanne Sozeby was here?
Yes.
She said basically the same thing. She said, everybody was saying, boy, the Holy Ghost said this, and he's appearing to me this. And she got mad and said, you don't appear to me. You don't speak to me. And he said, I wish you'd stop calling me a liar.
That's right. That's right.
And she said, ooh. And she said, the Holy Ghost said to her, you got to begin to say, I believe that I know you, Holy Spirit. I believe that you operate in me. I believe I know you better than myself. I believe that you're more real to me than this room that I'm in. You're real to me. What is that? She desired it, but then she had to do what? Believe. She had to say from her heart. So operating in spiritual gifts is available. You desire that. But you've got to go beyond that. You've got to now do what? Believe. Hope that helps somebody. Because God wants to now operate. He wants to operate through the church, not just in here. He wants you to be out in Walmart or Stop and Shop or somewhere, and he says, turn around and pray with this lady. She's sick. Or this man. Give them some money. Bless them because they're hurting. That's how he wants to operate in a word of knowledge through you. You desire spiritual gifts. It's not somebody else. It's you. And it's faith that has to be operated by you, which gives substance to things you desire. Praise the Lord.